There also have been no salary increases since 2018, and there has been industrial action as a result of this. A quick comment, and Professor Fowler will deal with this in more detail, on the mining, marketing, and sales. The mining is all undertaken by contractors, and they're remunerated in a ratio ranging from 60% to 80% of the value of the sale of diamonds. And one of the issues that the board has been attempting to resolve is that the deed of settlement has some fairly instructive requirements that don't allow for, unless decided otherwise by the board. Firstly, that mining should only commence when a three-year resource has been established, that the appointment of contractors requires the approval of the joint board, that the remuneration should be based on a share of sales should not be based on a share of sales except where it is customary in the case of marine mining, and that the contractors may not have any part in the operation of the DMS plants, and the Professor Fowler, who has been there since the beginning of April, has really had his work cut out for him to address both the turnaround that is needed in terms of compliance and governance, and ensuring that every effort is made to ensure that mining is profitable, and that the contracting arrangements for contracts which will be ending at the end of next month are replaced by contracts that are compliant with the deed of settlement and unanimous resolution. Interim CEO will present, which is a quick overview of the audited financial statements and the remedial plans. As I indicated at the beginning, the Minister, Deputy Minister, and officials at DPE have been extremely supportive thus far. And just to underline to the committee that the interim CEO and the staff of Alex Gore and the PSJV have been working under extraordinarily difficult circumstances and really deserve every commendation for keeping the situation under control, which I'm sure in the discussion there might be issues you wish to take up further, but I can't underline enough what difficult challenge they are faced with. And with that, I'll hand over to Professor Fowler.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hanukkah. Good morning, Deputy Minister, Chairperson, Honourable Members. It is a pleasure for us to be able to present these highlights. I have with me in the conference room here Mr. Karbain Huison, and we have our finance team managers, who are at another venue, Sulile Ngugu and Lebo Malakalaka. So the highlights for this period is the revenue declined 7% from 171 million to 158 million, and the cost of sales decreased from 4.6% from 105 to 100 million. And there was a significant retrenchment that occurred in 2020, and core staff had to be reemployed on a temporary basis, mainly relating to maintenance of properties and also servicing of the town of Alexander Bay. The operating costs have decreased by 63%, and the carat production has decreased by 2% from 28 176,000 carats to 128 million attributable to the impairment of the ICC loan of 90 million and reversal of the expected credit loss of 16 million. The adjustments. The audit findings were addressed and a qualified audit opinion is a vast improvement from the prior year, which was a disclaimer in audit. The overall overview of the joint venture, you have Alex Forth, the SOC, and then you have the Richtersveld Mining Company, which the chairperson outlined briefly. The Alex Corp SOC is a 51% holder and the Richtersveld Mining Company is a 49%. The Richtersveld Mining Company represents the community in the Richtersveld who have won the land claim and own the land and the mining rights for the land, and the marine rights are owned by Alex Corp, and the operations are done through what's called the pooling and sharing joint venture, and that was part of a deed of settlement and sharing joint venture, and that was part of a deed of settlement that was settled in 2007. It's an unincorporated joint venture, and it's governed by the deed of settlement and managed by an executive team comprising of 8 individuals, including the chief executive officer, and the executive team has oversight provided by the PSJV board, which is a joint board between Alex Corp and the Richtersveld Mining Company. This is just to show the carats produced. I won't go into the detail, but I'll just go to the sums. In 2021, it was 28,246. In 2020, 127 for 2019. So it has been declining in those years, and we've done a calculation that the actual carats that need to be produced is around 33,000 carats. So we're under the production year even in 2021, 2020, and similarly so in 2022. In 2022, 20,000 carats were produced, 20,480 carats produced. The revenue has shows the graph of the decline in revenue for the years in the past few years, a visual account of revenue. The employees, the number of employees we have, my apologies, are 809 employees, and just recently we've increased those numbers of employees by probably about 100, so we have probably in total 809. The sum there is incorrect. They probably have some additional employees because we've got an increase in where production has increased quite significantly in the last 2 months. Expired contractors, 74 contractors that are active, but activity fluctuates, and sometimes it's liquidity requirements are not being met, and we're hoping to get some support from the ministry, but if we don't get that, we will find a way to address that in the next month or so. Deposits are financially viable. One of the things we found is that volume of the deposit was envisaged to be not less than 150,000 per annum, but that we are looking at, which is was developed in 2021 but was not implemented, is really to employ larger contractors, and we are going out to tender for increase the overall oversight of that. The marine mining better is minimal, and it needs to be increased. The increased number of service providers that my apologies. Exploring and insourcing medium depth of marine mining. Government, including the sector, growth in the sector. Investment, job creation, competitive in our core business. The short-term strategy seeks to realize an increase in production from the land mining operations, given the lower marine production during this winter period, when the months and the winter months, when the seas are very turbulent and visibility is poor. So there's, it declines quite significantly until about the beginning of October. The long-term strategy allow mining during the winter periods. The key focus will be professionalization of operations. Which may require us, those are done not by the mine operators itself, but by operators. The economic diversification will be considered in options for future the Alex Core and PSJV for the benefit of the rest of South community. My apologies, Samawi. So just to go on to the question of financial stabilization, rigorous cost containment, including a review of all current contractual arrangements, which I've mentioned earlier, merging of the functions of AlixCor, RMC, and PSJV to avoid duplication, and we'd have to and comply with the deed of settlement, which envisages the pooling of the expenditure and incorporation of profitable mining operations being conducted by the PSJV for the benefit of AlixCor and RMC. The improved revenue from the March sale, we was a record sale, it was so high. The company utilized the windfall sale to recover some of the debt, which has grown over the last few years as a result of lower diamond production, also COVID-19. There's been an urgent need for financial and non-financial support as a part of the exercise considering the options for the future of AlixCor and the PSJV.
Okay, I think that's the end of the presentation. Maybe just to make some questions presenting on the carats produced and mentioned the 33,000 carats. That was on the data we do have at our disposal on the price of diamonds. That on the issue of employees, the employees of AlixCor are obviously going to be extremely problematic. So some of the longer term economic succession plans at end of life of obviously engaging with the shareholder around what needs to be done to ensure
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Interim CEO. Honorable members, that is the presentation on financial statement by Alexco. I hope you have already started to prepare your, or you have already prepared your question or formulated your questions or and the comments. I will start as normally. You don't have to put your hand up, and I'll make it a point, everybody who is in this platform or the member of parliament and a member of this portfolio committee will be given an opportunity to put his or her views across. Let me start with the Honorable Gumede, followed by Honorable Kachalia and Honorable Maotwe, accordingly. Honorable Dlamini.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I think if my mind and my memory serves me well, the first part of the presentation is nothing new. We've seen that before. Be that as it may, I think one must appreciate that Alexco has been in trouble for quite some time, and other matters are with the law enforcement agencies. I think that is well known. Where we want to maybe get involved is a situation where we want to understand, since the new board came into place, there's one issue that I have of if we are going to believe the report that Alexco is struggling financially, but then you get a sense that the new board has chartered a plane twice for their board meetings. But when we went to Alexco now oversight, we were made to understand that as part of their cost-saving measures, they would rather drive. When we were there, I'd remember, Chair, the then CEO was driving a Polo, which he drove from Gauteng to Alexco. If indeed it's true that Alexco is in a position to charter a flight now, how is that justified in terms of its financial position as a struggling entity? Two, in terms of the rehabilitation part, and there a possibility exists that there's still some value in the deposits. Is there a financial plan to fund that type of an operation in place? If it's not, how is it going to be funded? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gumede. Honorable Kachalia.
Thank you, Chair. I just switch this on. Thank you, Chair. Chair, this has been going on for a very long time. In my simple understanding of matters, this is a rich mining resource, particularly in the marine area. And but in the absence, it seems, of funding from government, and the absence of the ability to cover costs. What are you? There is considerable unhappiness from contractors, particularly in the marine area. Course contract to the
Alex Course contract.
Now. Being done about that. We know that the SIU is looking into these things in the past, but CEO Lemogang Pitse, why did he resign? Can we get going forward, even if that is just an exercise in as I said, what has been ring-fenced. We have never seen those. Those are absolutely crucial. And, you know, so can we get answers to those questions? Because this is an ongoing nightmare that will only allow us to sink into Alex Court, to sink further. There is no, under the current situation, in my estimation, there is no... Despite any plan in the world, there is no forward. There is no forward route without addressing these questions. I hope they can be answered, and I hope they can be answered cogently. And then, if they cannot be answered in any proper, real way, apart from we are going to do this, we are going to do that, that's not. I'm not interested in those issues. I'm interested in cogent answers to these questions, and in the absence of dealing with it, what is going to be done? Because government has said, we're not giving you a penny, and you don't have a penny, despite having a rich resource. So let's answer those questions, please.
Done. Okay. Honorable Maotra?
No, thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to yourself, committee members, and the colleagues. So the first presenter, the lady who presented, I'm sorry I missed her name. She started with the first part of the presentation. So
this is Mrs. Hanekom.
Yes, thank you, Chair, Mrs. Hanekom. So when and how was the AA appointed and which process was followed? Because the presentation is just telling us that AA was appointed and held an introductory meeting in February, and that's where it ends, but doesn't tell us how, when, and which process was followed. And number two, in your presentation, you are saying that government arrangements and compliance with statutory requirements leave much to be desired. What do you mean by that? And for what period are you referring to here? Because the next bullet point you speak about 2022-23 corporate plan. So it's confusing as to which period are you referring to and exactly what do you mean by that statement? By how much? Because it's not clear from this presentation and how much. And what has been the response from Treasury so far? And I also see that there has been no that financial viable mining options are viable. What exactly are you telling us, or what point are you trying to drive us to? I'm saying this because the two slides after this one, you are saying an urgent need for financial and non-financial support is required. So I don't understand. Can you clarify what you mean by that? And lastly, Chair, when you look at the innovation and growth strategy, really it's music in our ears. I mean, we've heard this before. There's nothing new exactly except your wish already, unless if that's what you are trying to tell us, your wish to already start with discussions around bringing a new partner. But other than that, I don't know what you're telling us, and perhaps you can clarify that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mawashwe. Can we have Honorable Mkhwanazi, followed by Honorable Buthelezi, Honorable Kwangwa, accordingly? Okay, let me repeat. Honorable Mkhwanazi.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, sure.
I apologize for the delay. I don't know what was happening with my gadgets. I was trying to change the gadget. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to honorable members, to the leadership of ALESCO, and everyone in the platform. First part of my questions has been covered by Honorable Dlamini. But Chair, on the financial stabilization report of ALESCO, bullet five. That said, there's an urgent need of financial and non-financial support. If the presenter can elaborate on that and elaborate on the role of DPE as the overseer on that specific issue. On that specific support that they are talking to. On the issue of ALESCO sustainability, Chairperson, I would love the presenter to talk about the community concerns with the new business direction of contracting larger contingent concessions for the land operators. Did they address those community concerns, and what is the plan going forward? Thirdly, Chair, for me is the issue of I'm sorry about that. Is the issue of They are planned to meet the procurement target going forward, because in the report they said they didn't meet the target. Also, is their plan in place to get better audit outcomes for the next financial year? But I want to echo the sentiments raised by the other honourable members that it's a short of the right word. It is really an odd story that they are still presenting. But for now, I would really love to understand what were on the four questions that I've raised. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mkhwanazi, followed as by Honourable Buthelezi. Honourable Buthelezi seemingly is not present in the meeting. Honourable Kwangwa.
He apologized, sir.
You are. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, and everybody else that's on the meeting. Difficult when you always come in at the tail end, and most of what I wanted to raise seems somewhat to have been covered, but nevertheless, I'd like to just expand on one or two issues in that the presentation states that the financial position of Alex Tko is extremely precarious. Now, we all know that the Zondo Commission findings that Alex Tko, through the, of course, infamous Scarlet Sky Investments, is alleged to have sold diamonds at below market prices. Now, since the publication of these findings, Chair, the question is, what concrete steps have really been taken to fix this distorted pricing system and ensure that the diamonds are sold at current prevailing market prices? That's one. On slide six, Ma'am Trish Hanekom raised the significant expenditure and, of course, the situation being precarious. Now, who exactly are Alex Tko following up with in terms of what is the exact plan of action, as my colleague Honorable Kachalia stated, that you know, there's no funding coming from Treasury. Now, what is the plan forward henceforth? Or are we just going to talk about talks? I'm not sure. The process is currently underway to review the contracting arrangements. What issues are being faced and problematic right now in terms of the Richtersveld board members? There was supposed to be a budget implemented in terms of reimbursement or remuneration for this board. How has that been going? You know, what has been transpiring as far as that is concerned? It was mentioned that the production has declined to such a great extent, with an envisaged deposit of some 150,000 carats. We saw the slide there in terms of how the sales have retrogressed from 2019 to currently. Now, it's a huge matter of concern in terms of turnovers and covering costs, etc. So my colleague raised the issue on the polygraphs. Are polygraphs being conducted? What is the scenario around that? Then finally, Chairperson, not to deliberate much further, the economic opportunities for the Richtersveld community. Let's be very honest. This has not been forthcoming. Again, what are the concrete plans in terms of economic opportunities for the Richtersveld community as such? the issue on the board core rating that has already been asked, the PSJV report that was raised also. And then finally, Chairperson, I'd like to ask or find out how much is the is AlixCorp spending currently on external consultants? Is there a number or a figure to that or a plan? Would just like to hear something about external consultants. Chairperson, yeah, that's me for now. Thank you so much.
Okay, Honorable Isaac. Honorable Gumede.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Although perhaps the process has been a little bit confusing for me. You said I was going to be the first one, yet Lamini came in, and then when you thanked me. Chair, greetings to everyone. Chair, let me say, you know, it's my mind is little bit scattered, in the sense that when you have absorbed a lot, you seem to be there and there. But, you know, my good sense tells me, Chair, that it was good that the CEO resigned. We wouldn't be at the stage where we are today. However, it gives us a lesson, Chair, that for the lack of perhaps the appropriate weights, I will talk about the corporate agreement, something that says a person can't resign if he has not completed some of his or her critical tasks that were expected of him. If that is not captured in part of the agreements, let's make sure that it is incorporated so that in the near future, we don't lose people who would have undertaken some of the work, and then the people who are coming after him are found perhaps wanting. You understand the presentation, it simply says many of the things were not done. It was just things perhaps afterwards, which then gave the interim board a very mammoth task to achieve some of the things that they achieved. That's one of the reasons I'm saying that it was good for the CEO to have resigned. Otherwise, we were going to get the disclaimer as well. Thanks as well, Chair, because we need to give credit where it's due. Thanks as well, Chair, for the intervention of the minister. I want to say for me, it was very timely that some of the people that were put as interim measures did do or conduct part of what at least we would have expected. For two consecutive years, Alesco achieved disclaimer. One wants to believe, that this time around, the progress is we are getting a qualification. As much as we may say it's not good, but it's a progress towards achieving a kind of a good story. Some of my highlights here is we have an interim that has taken the entity to the level of qualification. Yes, despite many other elements that members raised, but it was good for them. It's an achievement that at least they've taken a step further. What in fact is common among, as my second highlight, what is common among many entities as well as many other organizations is that you will always find that irregular expenditures or fruitless expenditures are very high, which makes my belief that in fact that's how money is stolen, if ever we want to say it's stolen. Irregular, this thing, and then the monies are too huge to understand, and such irregular expenditures in many instances are not explained. It's simply an irregular expenditure. This time around, this entity has shown no irregular expenditure or fruitless expenditures found, which in fact is a good thing. It's a positive one if we talk in terms of business. The threats I may have, Chair, it could be the retrenchments because of cost-cutting measures. You know, the primary aim for every organization is to make profit, but you can't cut up until you come to the bone, because that may not be the right way of doing that. And in this instance, we understand that the company, after it has retrenched some of the people, started experiencing some difficulties in terms of meeting the deadlines. This as well has been mentioned, the involvement of big companies, which in fact may begin to limit the opportunities for the locals who in fact are aspiring to secure and get perhaps some jobs to feed the families. The other threat is, which I want to believe that the recent scenario has taught us many things, are the Zamazamas. One would want to believe whether the board would have a strategy to quell this kind of a scenario, because it looks as if there's not only the Zamazamas, but there are the Zamazamas with perhaps certain agendas. I've mentioned, Chair, the resignations as a threat, that people, when they feel that they are not ready, they can't execute the work, they just feel like resigning. Those are the threats that, in fact, one feels that the situation, when you analyze the situation, we are to try and address. However, it tells us, Chair, as well as the PC, that we are to improve on our oversight, be in a position to hold the deep. At all instances, Chair. Then, Chair. I want to believe that yesterday, in fact, I want to believe when I was reading, there is a little bit of a confusion whether we have a board in place or we still have an interim. But I want to believe that we are still pushing with an interim. But be that as it may, it will be interesting for us to find out when will be the real board be in place, because that's quite too critical. Is the board, even if it's the interim, still continue? Is it ready to steer this kind of a ship? If so, how they have the plan? When you understand some of the risks, there were no plans, which in fact those are part of the findings by the Auditor General, that there were no plans. So it will be good for us that we find out whether do they have the plan, as well as some of the supporting structures, like the audit committees and many other things that in fact will make the entity, or especially the governance, viable in a situation. Chair, let me perhaps wait there for a time being, but I've been covered a lot by certain members, but it will be good as well to say that the interim board has in fact done its best to do. Ours is to make sure that the board tells us that how do they sustain this kind of a projection. They are giving us a hope that if today we are on qualification, is it possible that next very much, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. I don't know what happened.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to yourself, members of the Portfolio Committee, the DM, the entourage from Alexco, our secretariat, and everybody on the call. Comrade Honorable Gumede, most of the issues, and I really want to acknowledge the efforts and the work done by the newly elected board of Alexco, and wish them well. So I am basically covered, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Malinga. Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody in the meeting. Chair, I would want to follow the cue of Malinga, but unfortunately, she has to rub me so that I understand how it's done, meaning she has to teach me. Unfortunately, I won't be able to as much as I am tempted to do so. Chair, in acknowledging the work that the board has done, we want to also, you know, Deputy Minister Maswale, is that we acknowledge the in this SOC. However, I honestly adhering to the Auditor General, the requirements, and we must, meaning the board, must be able to really come back with unqualified audit. I think that point must be emphasized. The report mostly is old, if you were to ask me, Mr. Fowler. It's very old. When you look at it, go back to since we started this term of office, this is the story that we've been hearing on the financial statements and its performance. It's almost, for me, it's like a cut and paste. However, we do acknowledge some of the efforts that we've tried to do. I just want you to go back and ensure that when you come back again before the committee, we're able to speak to the new story and the progress. But also the emphasis on COVID-19, for me, I'm still finding it a little bit odd, as much as it would have affected us, but we need to do better. Now, I just want to emphasize the issues that we raised. One is the matter, Deputy Minister, I'm putting to yourself about the board. I understand that it's an interim board. The question is, when are we going to have a permanent board? And the fact that the board is consisting of members and we only have three here, where are the other three members, if you can get understanding of that? But also, I mean, the issue, you know, when we went for oversight day, it was very clear the issue of transformation in that entity, it is still a problem. When are we likely to have black women, if not African women, meaning consisting of all the other racial groups, that when are we going to have them? If you can answer me on that one. But the matter about young people, you know, we have a huge unemployment in this country. Are we saying, Deputy Minister, we don't have, and it's not young people of 35, we're talking younger people that are professional in the space as well. Are we going to have that? Are we going to see that happening at any time, really? So that we also deal with this issue of unemployment. But, you know, we're able to really deal with demographics of our country for what it is and from where we're coming from. I think that issue must the profit of 115.8 million, as well as the 11.7. And community be able to benefit the beneficiation of that community that is very poor. Ensure that really this community, we do justice to this community. Is there any plans from the board and as much as they're looking into it to really uplift the community and play in this community well-being? The matter about the staff, I mean, the employees have not been paid, have not enjoyed what we call remuneration insofar as race is concerned. Are we going to see that anytime soon? Because the staff morale, and especially in the Alexco, is quite critical. So I'm just asking the question, are we ever going to see that as much as you're recording a profit that you would have made? And I want to also come to the point, Mr. Fowler. You know, I see you are reporting from a desk. I don't know that desk. Is it in Joburg? Is it in Gauteng? Or is it based in Alexco right now where you are reporting? It is this committee, when we started, we emphasized and the matter of removing offices in Pretoria and closing them down so that they can come close. We were then told there's going to be a program of cleaning diamonds or cutting diamonds and so forth so that you don't sell them raw to outside the country. But we were told that you opened a branch in Kimberley that is going to do that work. I want to know, is that work continuing? Do you have those offices? Are they operating? At what staff complement and how much we're paying those offices? Because we're informed you're going to pay close to nothing because you're working with the government, meaning the municipality and the provincial government. If I can get that understanding. Now, the Alexco, as much as shown this improvement in the net asset value of 128 million from a prior year of 106 million, and that way, have achieved three of the nine performance targets set for 2021 financial year. Now, some of the performance targets are not achieved, and that includes but not limited and people with disabilities companies. The PSJV achieved revenue. A better market value for each diamond, and if the dollar or rand exchange was favorable, even though the production had not been carried under the operational disruptions COVID-19 pandemic. But for me, more importantly, the PSJV through what you call a beta. By the shareholder for the 21 financial year. Now, the reduction of employees as a cost containment measure improved efficiency with the PSJV, which is in turn impacted positively on the joint venture that EBITDA was not able to sustain its diamond production during the difficult COVID-19. So I just want to understand the entity only achieving 7 of the 18 performance targets set for the 2021 financial year, which represented more than 60% of non-achieved targets, amongst others. So what are we going to do to ensure that we achieved all our targets as set by your plans? But you know, the current set target for land and marine production, the deep sea production, amidst waters production, were not achieved. So I want to know the issue of skills development, the artisanal engineering and technical trainings, and so forth, including what impacts socioeconomically. What are we going to do? That is to achieve the total number of Black youth-owned and people with disabilities as a set of local expenditure that were not achieved. And this is what is cited as a reason for low carrot productions included in because of the unfavorable sea conditions caused by floods from Orange River and the Poof, so forth and so on. You know the story. But I want to understand what are we going to do to make sure that we achieve that and we bring the Black-owned companies. Now, in page 29 of Alexco annual report, it indicates that the entity 5-year 2019-23 social and labor SLP is yet to be finalized. Moreover, local and economic development projects were not executed for the period under review due to the combined financial challenges encountered by the entity and failure to implement the SLP and LED project ran the risk of exacerbating the triple challenges that we know of poverty, inequality and unemployment in the surrounding mining communities of township. What is the DPED doing to make sure that SLP is on track in addressing the triple challenges and additionally monitor the implementation of LED projects to address development challenges identified in the surrounding mining communities and townships? And maybe let me just go to my last point, really about, are there any mechanisms earmarked to ensure that the local communities and township as well as businesses are the ultimate beneficiaries of this partnership with large mining and marine contractors, primarily because you know for a fact that you would have partnered with other businesses like from PSJV, from Turkey partnerships with large mining contractors and business partnerships and with big marine contractors. What are we doing for the localization? Alexco really needs to focus more of its attention to its core operations of diamond mining. When will the establishment of local task team be finalized such that the outstanding issues of deeds of settlement are dealt with? And how is the PSJV mitigating against unfavorable sea conditions, which may worsen in the future as a result of greenhouse gas emissions and further impact negatively on the joint ventures of diamond production? How are we going to mitigate that to ensure that this business is productive, as we can see, but it also continues with its work, because we know about the issue of climate change and so forth and so on. But let me leave it at there, Chair, just to say to the Deputy Minister and the Department, really take the issue of transformation very serious. Happening here in this mining, and we think that this is a very important SOC. Government through Treasury should be in a position to fund this department. But the DPE, Deputy Minister, must also put funding towards this company, because it has not been doing so. And the question is, why is it not doing so? If I can be just clarified around that. But thank you so much, Chair. I will leave it at that.
Thank you.
No. Sorry. Chairperson, my apologies. Already, Honorable Dlamini, Chair, I won't take long. Just speak about the issue of the flight and the jet. I also want to understand what is the reason of taking flight by the boat twice already to Alexco. Why are they not using land? And what are the cost implications? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shaba. Deputy Minister, I won't ask any questions. I think all my questions have been covered by all members of Parliament who have just raised questions and comments. But where I stand, I have to appreciate progress. I was trained to sort of appreciating a progress when there is, even if it's very small, appreciating progress encourages you to go ahead. When you cannot identify any movement, as well give up thinking that you won't go anywhere. It's important perhaps to sort of appreciate the progress at Alexco. There is a different, even if how small it is, but if one compare with the previous situation, there is a slight progress that we, as this committee, we have to appreciate. Of course, the questions that have been raised by members are valid, and they need Alexco executive and its board to respond properly to them. But also, I want to say there is a progress. In Afrikaans, there is something called Piki Piki Makbaya. You know, even if you, at some point, it will make a big thing. In Luli Kalinikos's book about O.R. Tambo, they talk about arc by arc. Therefore, I our members can be answered, and not just answered in appreciating them, and in order to also and arrive there. Therefore, we would love to get to know all these. Yeah, with our questions are not necessarily trying to undermine the progress that is there.
To the Honourable Committee for the questions. The Chair was going to ask that maybe let's start with the board as well as the interim CEO, the board chair as well as the CEO. I will come back to, I think, the issues of budgets, the issues of treasury, and also I think the other strategic issues to do with the community and as well as the operations really the deed of settlement and all those matters. I'll come back to that, but rather, if you may permit, Chair, I would ask the board chair to take as far as she can, as well as the executive team that is here. I'll then come back after they would have dealt with. I'll try and trace whatever is left out. Thank you, Chair. If you may permit.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I will address some general issues that have been covered by all of the honourable members, and then hand over to Professor Fowler. And I'm sure if there's anything that is left out, we can mop up those questions. But really to express appreciation for the very thoughtful questions that have been posed. I'm going to start with the status of the accounting authority and the governance issues, and just to confirm that it is an interim board. And if you recall in the presentation, we were saying that the former CEO, who also served the accounting authority, resigned at the end of January. The acting CFO and general manager finance resigned soon thereafter. So it meant that the two most senior people employed by Alex Gore left in quick succession and left without having addressed, and I agree with the member who raised the issue about the contract and whether there should be any consequence management, because you do have an obligation to see through what you have started. But we need to assess, based on evidence and facts, whether there is justification for that. And in the external audit for 21-22, that we have discussed this with the external auditor and the AGSA is so that the things we are worried about can be looked into a little bit more deeply. So we are appointed for a year. I think all of the members of the board were nominated to serve on the boards of the state-owned entities. And as the person chairing the board, I would say that in many respects, it's a very good board because they really are deeply committed, hardworking members of the board. And it's not a secret that sometimes board members don't necessarily do the hard miles necessary to carry out their fiduciary responsibilities. In this instance, I confess, having served on other state entities, this has been the most difficult, is the most difficult, and quite to arrive, and it addresses some of the concerns raised by members about this being old news. So this is the review of the 2020-2021 financial year that ended in March 2021. So it's well over a year old. Time to address issues, address them fully. Alex Gore, the PSJV, the RMC, and the community in a better position. what was the ultimate objective of the deed of settlement and unanimous resolution, a flow of benefits for many different reasons to the rest of our community, and I'll come back to that in a moment. The second thing is that there's basic big things that you have to do if you're the accounting authority. There must be a corporate plan, there must be a budget, and at the end of the financial year, there must be an integrated report. To arrive as board members and find that none of that was there was really quite shocking. So it meant that I've certainly never been on a board where you put in probably the vast majority of your waking life into getting a board fixed as opposed to playing your normal quarterly oversight role. That's what it's been to different degrees depending on the other commitments of board members or the board members on the Alex Corp board. So in fact, everyone is not claiming fully for their participation in the board because we can't, because there isn't money, and because it would just be completely unreasonable, because we shouldn't be doing the amount of work that we are doing. Question, and then somewhere near the end as well, I think by the very first thing we did was look for somebody who could serve as interim CEO, who would have the ability to fix the governance shortcomings and turn around the mining operations. And to do that in a short period of time and not as a permanent position, we looked at people who had engineering backgrounds and governance experience, and we went through an interviewing process in order to appoint someone on a 6-month contract renewable for 6 months. And all of the people that we approached were either in early retirement or had recently completed tenure elsewhere. We also made it a condition that the person who we appointed would have to live in Alexander Bay, because it seems somewhat unrealistic, but also absolutely financially irresponsible to be having a CEO based in Joburg who goes up and down all the time at the expense of the company to Alexander Bay, claiming traveling expenses and claiming the subsistence allowance for being away from home. So let me put it on record to really appreciate that Professor Fowler did make himself available. I'm sure that it isn't his first choice to be living in Alexander Bay away from his family. And I think he's been back to Joburg once for a whole series of commitments and meetings in Johannesburg that is really looking at the future, which we haven't dealt with much in this meeting, and I'll come back to that before handing back to Mr. Fowler. The reason that the board went on a charter flight to Alexander Bay, I think that the committee is probably very attuned and to the extent to which there might be disappointments, even anger, about the extent to which there has or hasn't been benefit for the rest of South community. It would be impossible to be a board that never ever goes to Alexander Bay. The state maps of it, it's cheaper to 10 people onto a plane than it is for 10 people to drive overnight somewhere, have expenses once they're in Alexander Bay, overnight again, and completely unaffordable to be saying that which is what we've done, that it would take to get to Alexander virtual to keep the expenses down. And as I've indicated, board members certainly don't claim the fees they are entitled to for all of their participation. And when you see the 2021-22 integrated report, you'll see officially we appointed Professor Fowler in March, so it might only, I think the first payment was only in April, but he is earning way less than what the benchmark would be for someone playing this kind of role in a remote mine where there should probably be an incentive for the inconvenience of living away from your home. And so in some senses, he's doing his national service in his retirement. And I don't think that's something he would necessarily boast about himself, but the board certainly has appreciated the extent to which he's been quite selfless in this regard. So as I was saying, with respect to governance, the basic things of a budget, a corporate plan, the integrated report and annual financial statements for the period that is ending, we would have expected to be there and didn't find them. There was also no external auditor appointed for the 2021-22 financial year, and that process Professor Fowler to attend to, and the external audit, hopefully it won't wait until May next year, but we certainly have not complied with the timeline that is required in the PFMA. Given that many of the questions were about it being old news, there's much we could have said that we haven't included in this report because the notification said it was in order to deal with the 2020-21 integrated report and audited annual financial statements. But just to inform the committee that we have the shareholder approved our request for the auditor to opt-in, which would mean that the Auditor General themselves, if they approve it, would do the audit for the 2022-23 financial year. We are in the process of getting their concurrence for the external auditors who have audited for the past 3 years to audit again this year, because there are specific issues we would like them to look at. And again, I will refer briefly to some of the questions, and the detail will be dealt with by Professor Fowler. But there are areas where, from what we can tell, there wasn't a proper procurement process followed, or if a proper procurement process was followed, it was not necessarily defensible. There was no due diligence or feasibility study for the establishment of what is called a branch in Kimberley. It is related to the issue of the evidence given to the State Capture Commission, as well as the report that dealt with Alex Gore, which found evidence of there having been an underpricing and selling of diamonds in a closed tender system that did not realize the returns that should have been realized for the sale of diamonds. There is no more closed tender system. The 10% of diamonds goes to DEEC, and the balance is to the state diamond trader, and the balance is sold on open tender at DEEC, where there is the maximum exposure to international and us going forwards, and we will in due course be making recommendations to the cutting and polishing of diamonds is corner of that trade in the world is based in India, and it's a very long way for Indian buyers to be coming to Johannesburg. So that's really just to explain a bit that we are looking the contracts that we are aware of where there was either this has been presented to the board by Professor Fowler, and certain of those contracts have been cancelled, and we would be very happy to come and deal with a detailed presentation in that regard. But it's obviously information that will come up reporting period that we are in now. The second thing I wanted to touch on is just the state of mining, and everything that we are told is that the diamonds in the West Coast are extremely sought after and valuable. So we don't doubt that there is some potential left in the mine, but as the interim CEO said, we have to reach a particular threshold in order to break even. The view of the board is that we can meet that threshold, but it's absolutely crucial that mining operations continue because there are other possibly much better economic opportunities in the future that might be realized, and any collapse of the mining operations would be detrimental to that. But I think it's important just to recollect that actually mining has been taking place for approximately 100 years in that area, and mines don't last forever. We're told that there's a lot of potential still in the marine mining, since the interim CEO has been there, he has already, amongst other things, there has been some improvement in security, which he might comment on more because there have been many comments and questions. The PSJV board are in place. There are three representatives from Alex Corp, and in 2016, in order to not have the PSJV collapse, the history of it is that the court appointed three non-executive directors to represent the RMC, and in 2019, these three non-executive directors representing the RMC were replaced by new non-executive directors, and we are hopeful that in the course of next month that the CPA administrator working with the Department of Rural Development will have completed its process of properly constituting all of the entities of the CPA so that the RMC is properly constituted and that CPA members are appointed to the RMC board and directly represent the CPA. I won't say more on that at the moment. There are court processes underway, and it is unfortunate that it is litigious. But hopefully, Professor Paolo is doing everything he can to interact with the elected CPA members and ensure that we restore good relations with the CPA. There was some comments on the SIU and the 7.9 million rand that we asked for exemption on. The reason we asked for exemption is quite simply because we don't have cash. So as was said by the CEO and myself, whilst it looks like we are a going concern and we've got reasonable liquidity, we actually don't, because the funds are reserved for rehabilitation, for the township handover, and insofar as Alex Corp itself might have had some reserves, the PSJV certainly didn't. And in fact, those reserves have been completely eroded because of the fact that expenditure on mining has exceeded income from the sale of diamonds. So the 7.9 million, we were advised by the SIU that we could ask for exemption from Treasury, but as Treasury has responded and declined that request, and it's a matter we are now currently discussing with the DPE, because it merely adds to the debt, including some of that debt being very long outstanding debt. All that is provided for is over 90 days, but we are verifying that there is paperwork, and Professor Fowler might want the financial people to contribute on this one to establish that, to be sure that nothing is paid that isn't for goods or services rendered. Then the last thing I wanted to comment on before handing over to Professor Fowler is that the board has, is of the view that the current arrangements with the CSJB and Alex Gore and the two parallel boards that also have parallel committees date back to 2007 and are not necessarily appropriate in 2022, are extremely costly. I was in an informal conversation with Professor Fowler indicating that just to avail himself for the board and committee meetings would take out 44 working days if it was a minimum in terms of quarterly oversight meetings required in terms of the memorandum of incorporation for Alex Gore and the unanimous resolution for the PSJV. Those 44 days is not, would not be concentrating on ensuring that we turn around the mining operations and have good governance in place. It's obviously quite forward to the Richter South Mining Company. In order to get a more elegant way to manage mining to the end of life of the mine, and hopefully by that stage coming online of other big economic opportunities, as we have mentioned, the Bukhubai port and the energy hub. That's obviously not the core business of Alex Gore or the PSJV, whose core business is mining. But we have been in Transnet has an interest in assisting to ensure that the area is secure. So that is really just by way of example, because it's not necessarily the business of this meeting, but clearly what the board is applying its mind to is ensuring that with the energy and effort that we have and the commitment of the individual members of the board and the executive team led by the interim CEO, that we do everything possible to improve the situation, which you have almost all correctly commented on as being problematic in many different ways. But just so that we don't paint a false picture, this is 2020-2021. We were appointed in February 22. So literally for a month of the reporting period that is going to be audited now. And as you know, external audits for 2021-22 should have been completed by now, and we should be coming to meet with the portfolio committee to deal with the 2021-22 integrated report and audited annual financial statements. So I'm certainly not anticipating that there will be a clean audit, because there are things that we are well aware of already that we think were, and I use the example of the Kimberley no feasibility study having been done for the arrangements in Kimberley, whereas Diamonds actually realized the best prices on the domestic market in Johannesburg. Our rough calculation is that it would cost us approximately $500,000 per sale if we were to have the diamonds in transit to Johannesburg. So those things we are correcting, and on behalf of my colleagues on the board, I think we are really trying to do the best that we can, and we have some serious expertise on the board that is assisting with some of the very specific challenges, which I'm sure Professor Fowler will speak to in response to some of the other questions. With that, can I hand over to Professor Fowler? Thank you.
Chairperson, sorry, before Professor Fowler, I've raised my hand on the portal. I want to rise on a point of order. Can I be acknowledged, please?
Yeah, can you go ahead?
Thank you so much, Chair. I want to put yourself that, firstly, I want to call point of order on Honorable Katalia, what do you raise on the group chat? And why I'm rising is that I want you to rule on this matter primarily because the rules of parliament apply. And when the rules of parliament apply, we need to get a directive around the issues of group chat and sideway talking. Because this is a meeting of parliament and it must be observed and its rules must be respected. What Comrade Kachalia, or rather it's not Comrade Honorable Kachalia, is raised there, for me really is unbecoming. So it's something that I want you to rule on it and also advise us as members in terms of rules of parliament, including the members of public who would have taken opportunity of this group chat. But also to say, when parliament sits, we don't have a group chat. So in this meeting, we thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Shabalala. Yeah, and the board and the executive is yes, it's important to listen to the presentation, but we have asked questions, we have engaged. Answers that are being provided, or those comments that are provided for us to understand the development at ALESCO properly. Let us see, allow them to, we'll come back later to this, Honorable Shabalala. Can you continue? I think now it's going to be the interim CEO, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Let me answer some of the questions. The questions that have not been answered as yet, I'll try to cover them. There was an issue raised about polygraph testing or polygraphs being used. We do use a polygraph in cases where there are examples of theft or there's irregularity. Although with members of the union, there has been resistance around the polygraph testing, but we've in fact had a case where there was a person who allowed somebody who was unauthorized to enter a place where there was diamonds, and there was an attempt at the theft. That person has since been dismissed, and so there are mechanisms to address the issues of theft, etc. The other question that was raised about the theft of diamonds, let me say that in 2020, there was a challenge around illegal mining on the Alex Cor concessions. But since 2020, the security has increased, and there has not been major situations of illegal mining on the Alex Cor concessions, Alex Cor RMC concessions, the session areas. What has been happening is that the illegal miners have been operating on the Transhex and De Beers concessions that they have since sold. And we are aware of that because one of the access points to the De Beers concession, people tend to try to go through the Alex Cor concession. And but the actual mining doesn't take place in the Alex Cor concession. The only incident we've had relates to the recently the police undertook an operation and confiscated equipment and arrested some 400 miners in the last last month and a half or so. They had an operation, and as a consequence of that, there was one case where illegal miners did attempt to enter a operational area on the Alex Cor RMC concession with about 60 people and 15 vehicles. But the security was able to get there fairly quickly, and they were forced to leave, and the police also came later, took the evidence. Many of the people were identified. And Alex Cor RMC PSJV employees have gone there to provide advice, but on the occasion that we, on the two occasions that we went, there's an illegal diamond seller who seemed to be the funder for these operations, which we've brought to the attention of DMRE. But certainly we recognize that it's an important area that needs to be addressed in the longer term. At the moment, we certainly have sufficient security to ensure that that is not taking place on the Alex Cor RMC PSJV concessions. The other question that was asked about the pricing, I think the chair answered that. We've achieved fairly high prices, and certainly in relation to the previous illegal contract with SSI, which was a company linked that was mentioned in the Zondo Commission or the State Capture Commission. Certainly, we have provided information to the presidency on that, and we've also provided information to DPE around those questions. And there's a workshop with DPE to address further action that can be taken. However, to note that the SIU has taken action against the one company who was not providing sufficient information, and they had a raid last week that was called what's called the Alex Core Diamond Company, which was previously called SSI. They raided them for information to ensure that they can complete their report, which upon completion will assist in both the NPA to take action, but also for Alex Gore and the RNC to take civil action where there is clear evidence that there was underselling and diamonds that have been sold with the knowledge of Alex Gore at the time. So there is action being taken around that question. Let me then go on to the other questions. And certainly I must thank the honorable members for the questions, and we'll certainly try to answer them as fully as we can. Around the increase for members, we've been in negotiation with the members to try to reach an agreement on the wage increase. We have made an offer, and though that's still under discussion, the union does have an agreement, although the numbers of staff that they currently have are less than the number that's required, but we've not taken action around that. We've certainly recognized that the union was here, and because of retrenchments, their numbers have declined significantly. So we've continued to have negotiations, and we've also made them aware of the financial situation so that it can be a realistic settlement. Let me then go on to the question of that was addressed about being an old story about the lack of funds. And certainly what we've done is in June, we've met with all of the contractors, and we have set targets for them to meet. And in the last 2 months, there is one contractor that has found an investor, which has invested somewhere in the order of 100 to 150 million. And the production contractor has almost quadrupled. But it has also resulted in our overall production increasing by about 50% for the last month and a half or so. And we are hoping that that trajectory will then increase over the next few months. And as we indicated, and there was concern expressed about the bringing in bigger contractors, that certainly in bringing in the bigger contractors, mindful of the fact that members of the Richtersveld community should benefit. And certainly when we put out the tender, that will be a requirement that they would have to bring in local participants to ensure that there is a benefit to the community and a benefit that is sustainable. The key challenge that local contractors have had is really getting investment. And certainly I've visited many of the buyers and of the diamonds to see that we can get the right price, make sure that we can in fact know who they are, know what kind of diamonds they are looking for, so that when the sale happens, they are contacted. And recently we've had an almost 50 to 60% increase in the number of bids that we've had on our diamonds, which has resulted in a fairly good sale in the last sale that we had this month. So that's a progress around that area. Let me also, in terms of addressing a better audit outcome, that certainly what we've done is that where there are concerns that have findings that they're there, we focus on those to address them in the next financial year to ensure that those are not repeated. I did want to address one issue. The chairperson may not have picked up on this one issue, which is said that there are non-correlate meetings where decisions have been taken. I am not aware. Of the PSJB that was non-correlate. All the meetings where legally recognized. And the process of appointment is has now been, as the CPA was under administration, all those, the RMC and the independent board members will be appointed by the RMC development company, which is the requirement in the deed of settlement. That appointment will be taking place around the 14th, the week of the 14th of September. And we're hoping that that would then conclude the need for a appointment to the court, but an appointment really through a democratic process that is being undertaken by the CPA. Let me also indicate that the question of irregular and wasteful expenditure is an issue that we certainly are concerned about, and we've addressed some of this. There's some will in fact recur, because in December last year there was a threat of the electricity being turned off because it was 5.7 million rands owed, and there was a 800,000 a month payment made since then to address that, and that has now been fully paid off. But the interest that was incurred during that period will be flagged for the 2022 financial year, which ended in March 31st of 2022, and there'll be 2 months, which will be in the March, from March to June of 2022-23 year. The other question that I'd want to address is certainly the question about appointment of currently there are bursaries that are given to young people to qualify in this area. There are two who have graduated who are now part one has left and moved on to another position, also here in the Richtersveld, and they were trained geologists who were appointed trained and appointed through Alex Fool. And certainly that will continue until we are the closure of the mine. And the closure of the mine is estimated to be 2035, based on estimates of the diamond resource that's available in the ground. Let me then go on in terms of I think what is referred to as the branch in Kimberley has been addressed by the chair. If there are any further questions, we'd certainly be prepared to answer that. There was also a repeated mention about profit. Now, what's important is that that's an accounting profit, and that a cash profit is what really pays for this, for what you receive. And part of that is because there is money set aside for rehabilitation. And certainly what we are commencing in the next month and a half is to start that rehabilitation, so that, which is really, we've worked out a plan, and that is a period of 7 to 8 years to complete that rehabilitation. So that rehabilitation is going to be started, given the fact the 2035, which is about 12 years, but that is not based on verified estimates of the resource. It is desktop studies that were done, and it's important to recognize that it's important to do the verified estimates. And as we mine the old tailings dumps, there will be diamonds within that because of the mining method. Be able to recover some diamonds and be able to address some of the concerns that members have. Which was indicated that we did not, they did not achieve them. The time and they weren't changed from year to year. They kept them the same. And in fact, you have to change your targets based on the historic information you have. And the historic information is that for the last 4 years, the production has been declining. So you have to take two steps. The first is to increase the production, which we've started doing. And the second is to have realistic targets so that you can actually hold people accountable. Because when you have unrealistic targets, it's hard to hold people accountable because it's not achievable. And that's something that we've tried to address. Around the social labor plan, we have had a meeting with the municipality and the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy to address the social labor plan. We have an agreement, and so this year we definitely will be able to have a social and labor plan that we will achieve, and that certainly is we've reached the last stage of reaching an agreement on that question. The question of mitigating against unfavorable sea days really is a rather difficult thing because there are two types of marine mining that takes place. The first type is where you have a large vessel, a ship that is able to go into the deep sea and dredge and remove diamonds in that way. but they generally will need divers to go down and indicate where the areas are. There is one contractor that's approached us that's going to use underwater cameras to be able to address that and address the visibility issue, which is quite a large investment. So that's the one operation that takes place. The second is that people, because of the in the ocean, which is very rocky, that the diamonds, these are alluvial diamonds that are washed to shore, washed into the ocean. And so they don't necessarily lay only on the seabed. They also are in crevices, etc. And the divers need to address that. One of our contractors that kind of specializes in that, and they usually bring quite a good return. So, but they don't work when they are turbulent days. They work usually largely when there are good sea days, and they've developed a methodology to address that. The challenge for the other contractors is that they're relatively small, and they're not able to put in the kinds of resources to withstand some of the challenges of when the currents are strong and the sea is a bit rough. Those issues we've attempted to address. I want to then go on to pass the. I think I've answered several of the questions, and maybe I've missed one or two. If I have missed one or two, perhaps the members could remind myself of those. But we certainly appreciate the opportunity to answer these questions. And if there are any follow-up questions, we're happy to answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor Trevor Fong, the chairperson of the board, for your response to a lot of questions that were raised to you. But now time is 12, almost 12:30, it's 12:27, and we left very limited time. We still have another business to deal with. I just want to check agency if there are one or two questions. I will just look at the hands of Frank, see if one or two people raise questions. I won't take more than two people. Let me give you Catalia and Isaac. 1 minute, strictly 1 minute per question.
Thank you, Chair. I beg your indulgence. The answers were long, the questions were long too, but this is a committee's session. This week is committees, and I think this is an important issue. If we run slightly over time, I think we need to address its the issues. It's not often that we have the opportunity to address people who are responsible and are trying to fix something which has gone massively wrong. Now, I have a couple of questions. And one is, what is being done about the 90 million impaired loan? It's not a loan. It's a capital contribution that was meant to start the PSJV. The PSJV is operating under loss, but Alex Core uses that to make its profitability look better. What is being done? Secondly, if you look at the accounts, 65 million rand was used, because there's lots of talk about rehabilitation, to remove asbestos. Now, but only 10 million rand was achieved in the reduction in rehabilitation liability. But 65 million was spent. So where did that go? Who is SRK? Who are the other contracting companies? Why is that? We need answers to this, and we need answers to this urgently. Thirdly, around the issues which Honorable Chabot had raised objections to. And I'd like to understand why there's been, if you have reached out to whistleblowers in any way. Because if you have reached out to whistleblowers, you might have reached some understanding of how the ANC's Progressive Business Forum, for example, Mr. Godfrey Oliphant, who's a key member of that and heavily involved in marine operations with no PFMA compliance, is operating, surely his accounts and what goes to whom is terribly, terribly important. And then finally, in line with this, the whistleblowers have pointed out in the plant of diamonds. And I repeat, polygraph testing, because that is terribly important, and I want to know why that is not undertaken. Thank you very much.
No, but it's out of order. I can't say ANC Business Forum. Where is it?
You are out of order to interrupt like this. Otherwise, I must be on the chat group. Thank you.
Honorable Isaac. Honorable Isaac is not coming.
Chairperson, I'm right here.
You have to give you very limited time for you to delay.
Okay. Okay, Chairperson, I understand. Thank you so much. I was just going to, I've been covered somewhat by Honorable Kachalia, because I was going to raise a similar issue regarding the PSJV having collected some 100 million rand of royalties from the contractors, which has not been paid to SARS or neither refunded to the contractors. But Honorable Kachalia did touch on it. Perhaps we could just get some clarity on that.
Honorable, I'm sorry. Interim CEO? Oh, there is also Lamini?
Thanks, Chair. Well, one must appreciate the response to the issue of a chartered plane. However, one must also record that the response given is not satisfactory, in that it doesn't tell us how much was spent on the chartered plane and how much would it have cost for alternative means of transportation for the board members, and how many board members are there, and stuff like that. Maybe it's something that the chairperson of the board could explain later, so that we are able to understand if really this decision was based on finances or it was influenced by from what we are told that people are old, they are from retirement. So it must be convenient, perhaps, to charter planes, when really it doesn't look like
Professor Trevor Fowler and the chair.
Wanted to say something?
I believe the Deputy Minister wanted to say something. Chair.
Okay. Deputy Minister?
Chair, it's not in respect of the latter questions. I still wanted to come back on certain matters, Chair. Please, your indulgence. I think, firstly, that there are funding issues that have been raised by honourable members. And we also share the pain of realising that if we had an injection of some capital into this, it would be able to do other things that at the moment it is unable to do, but are very critical. There's got to be investment in some critical infrastructure there to actually pursue making mining to the and for that you need to lay out some capital investment, which overall fiscal position of the government, it has not been able to be achieved. So we are constantly harping on the Treasury for once a window presents itself that we can get money to be able to direct in the way of Alexco to assist in their operation. But Chair, the other matter is perhaps a realization that many of the structures that were envisaged as part of the deed of settlement, which was a court order, the structures are too many, complex, and they really serve the purpose of prolonging, if not delaying, furthest and furthest the ability of the community to reap proceeds from otherwise what was a restoration of a right. Generally, the rest of the community, even when they are adequately represented in the CPA, it's very difficult the issue benefit from that. So between ourselves, DPE, as well as Department of Land Affairs, we are in discussion in the direction that we must really master the courage of going back to court. So as argue for streamlining these so that they aren't as convoluted as they are at the moment. The interest in this, the way they are, for instance, it takes long to have some really gets transmitted even to the other entities, their boards that are created. So it's something that we are looking into so as to at least get closer to how the community participates in that. The other is related to some of the capital outlay we need. It's more very scientific geological studies, a current geological evaluation, both on land as well as in the marine environment. Some of the technology that must be used, at the moment you're relying only on some of the miners who can access such technology. But it is something that on our own, we think in order to really appreciate fully first how much harvest is remaining of diamonds in the area, both on land and on the marine. It is something that we could be able to relate the proper resource mobilization and this, as well as the deployment of resources with a clearer mind as to what sort of availability do we have there. So these are some of the difficulties that we have. The board is interim in the sense that in the mind of the department, we needed quickly to undertake an investigation, though an investigation that must be hands-on, but also look at what sort of future holds for the entity. And the board, one of its primary tasks, the interim board, is to put together a concise proposition informed by the reality on the ground there, what prospects are there, so as to then inform the department's term view, medium to longer term view as to what we should be doing with that entity. So interim is interim in that respect, and within a period of 12 months, we are expecting that that matter would have chart the way forward in a much more forceful way with better command of what is obtaining at the moment. Yes, the SIU is beginning to show some bite insofar as some of the things that relate to some of the issues that under, that took place during that period of time, the state capture period. So there is a progress somewhat in that regard. The last batch of questions, Chair, I thought they were very direct. Perhaps it would be for the CEO, I imagine, to have to talk to those. The issues of security are quite critical. Every time we visited, it's an area that requires constant improvement, constant updating and vigilance, given other than that, thank you very much, Chair.
Good evening, Minister. Back to you, Professor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Deputy Minister. The question of the impaired loan, has been about the removal of asbestos. I'm not quite sure I understand the question. That are used here in many of the buildings. And as you know, asbestos causes lung disease. And there were funds made available for the removal of that asbestos, because there are people working in those areas, and that was then achieved. So the question of the whistleblowers, certainly if there are any whistleblowers that make information available, we would act on it. And the issues that were raised, the State Capture Commission, I did mention that there's a workshop on Friday to try to address all of those issues with DPE to look at these issues and the SIU to determine what further action besides the ones that we have put forward. The question of Mr. Oliphant, Mr. Oliphant, is which party they belong to. It is not our concern as a company whether they belong to a party or not a party. I and the royalties, what happens with the royalties? Which is being addressed. To ensure that things that have been done previously where there were deductions made that need to be returned, we will certainly do that. I think that answers all of the outstanding questions, Chair.
Yes, thank you. Of the board chair. Mrs. Anacom, can you take your 2 minutes, please?
Thank you, Chair. Not even 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Just to say that the Alex Corps doesn't have a service provider or the ability to procure in the service provider to do the forensic work that would be necessary to uncover any maladministration or malfeasance. So we really are relying on the SIU, who have been given full cooperation by Professor Fowler and his team to assist in identifying any wrongdoing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, I think at this time I have to thank the Deputy Minister and with the team, follow team, which is the Alexco board and the executive. We really appreciate your light at the end of this tunnel. It could be looking very far, but it's promising, and we would like to encourage you to continue doing your good work. We appreciate where you're from. We appreciate where Alex Cox is coming from. We know for a fact victim, just like all most of the entities of the state capture. And at this moment, been created in that entity. And it's not going to be like switching a light on and off. Those few words, we would like to say thank you, and we can, and yeah, we continue with the business. We'll release all, and then we'll be leaving with only members of parliament to continue our agenda. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We will.
Thank you, Chair.
Secretary, I think the next item in front of me is the consideration and adoption of the draft minutes. Can you present those minutes? We are left with very few minutes before we are overstepping our mandate.
All right, Chair. Thank you. Try and rush through the minutes. This was the meeting of the 1st of June, 2022. It was basically a briefing by the Department of Rural Development, Land Reform and Agriculture on the unresolved land claims that affecting Alexco and Safcol. The first part of the minutes is basically the members who are present, and also the delegation of the department and also rural development. Then we've got the opening remarks of the chairperson, and then a brief summary of the presentation that was made by the Chief Land Claims Commissioner. And then we've also got a summary of a presentation of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. It was led by Mr. Kosomo Ekezi. And then a summary of the discussions and issues that have been raised by the members of the committee. And then the responses that they had given to the committee. And then the resolution being that the Department of Public Enterprises and that of Rural Development, Land Reform, and the Department of Forestry and Fisheries should be invited back to the committee to present the challenges, lessons learned, and solutions. There should be a comprehensive presentation that has to be made to the committee to ensure that all these departments are working together to resolve issues of land claims. That was the meeting of the first chair.
Honorable members, that is the presentation on the minutes that we have to adopt. Can I find a person who wants to move for the adoption?
Chair, before you do so, may I just request that my initials are changed from C to G, because it's G, not C.
Okay, that's taken into consideration. Are you adopting the minutes, therefore?
I'll leave that to my colleague, sir.
Okay. Farik, move for the adoption. I mean, Isaac, move for the adoption. Is there any seconder?
Chair, Honorable Tobalala, I second the mover for the adoption of the minutes as read and raised by the Secretary. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair, that was very smartly done.
Come again. Okay. Honorable members, can we go to the next number, point five? Consideration and adoption of our draft third term program. Secretary? Oh, you flighted it already. Yeah, can you present it, please? There is it.
Can members see the program, Chair?
Come again?
Can they see the program?
Yeah, if I can see it, means everybody with their gadgets.
Okay. Basically, the program stands as thus. Our meetings are still on a Wednesday as our dedicated day of meeting. We've got the meeting of today, which is the meeting with Alex Koh. And then on the 31st, we've got a joint meeting with the select, which is on the issues of the DNL, the issues that of governance challenges facing DNL. And then we've got a meeting that couldn't take place during the recess, which is the meeting that's supposed to be dealing with ESPOM, especially on the issues of the finalization of the oversight visit and related matters, and update on the developments at ESPOM. So we propose the meeting the day of the 2nd of September, which is a Friday, because we can't meet on a Tuesday and Thursday because of the program of Parliament. And then on the 7th of September, briefing by the Department of Public Enterprise on their annual report, financial statements, and then also the adoption of the oversight report, because the meeting of ESCOM will assist us to adopt the oversight report also. And then on the 14th of September is a meeting with the briefing by the business rescue practitioners on the status update regarding the rescue process of Mango. And then the 21st of September is the SAA annual report and financial statements, which are due, which is the 3 years where SAA did not table their annual reports and financial statements to Parliament. And then the last meeting will be the Transnet annual report and financial statements on the 28th. And then just to say that on the I have spoken to my counterpart in the portfolio committee on energy to see if they are available, because we're supposed to be having a joint meeting. So they're saying that on Friday the 2nd, they are not available because they are having a meeting and they are dealing with a bill. So they are only able to join our meetings if the meeting can be on a Wednesday. Now my challenge was that Wednesday we've got a meeting with a select committee, and I cannot unilaterally change that particular meeting unless the select committee is also able to change. However, the committee must decide on the meeting on ESCOM in terms of how do we proceed with it, whether the committee would like to have the meeting on its own and engage ESCOM, or we find a suitable time when the Energy Committee is available. Let me pause it there, Chair.
Okay. Whatever members, that is it. Is there any concrete proposal around the ESCOM and the 3rd and the 2nd of September?
Okay, Chair, I did raise my hand. Chair, I would really move that we still stick and we find another alternative date. I'm not too sure how feasible is the matter of having a meeting on Friday. But also, we might want to look at bringing the ESCOM matter just, for us to really accommodate it on our Wednesday meeting, and it's just, it should still continue to be a joint with the minerals for specific reasons. But the fact that, you know, the ESCOM issue, it is a hot issue, and we also need answers, be it on load shedding and so forth. So I'm not too sure about Friday at this point, but what I would rather say is that the committee secretary to continue to engage and find a suitable during the week, maybe not Friday, and see what date can he come up with. So I'm just moving that let's give him that opportunity to deal with the administrative matters for us, just that definitely we'll have the meeting with ESCOM, but we give him the chance to and thank you.
Honorable members, is there any second?
Thanks, Chair Mkhwanazi. I'm sorry about my voice. I support Honorable Tshabalala with the amendment.
Okay.
I think we need to address as soon as possible, and even if it does. Committee involved. I also want to suggest that we find some time to a big issue of late, and we need to find some addressing of that. I'll raise the other one on the general. Don't worry, sir. Okay.
Thank you. Honorable members, I think that is the end of this, but I would love to come back to the matter pertaining the order that was raised by Honorable Tshabalala. Honorable members, I think we all are aware that portfolio committees, whether they are on hybrid, whether they are on physically, or they are visually, all of them, they are treated as a parliamentary session. Therefore, our conduct and our approach should always be informed by the rules of Parliament. In relation to our comments, you see, portfolio committees are not made to be where we expose the, I mean, we have postures that are hostile towards each other in terms of political parties where we're from. Because we are a team that is tasked to do a specific work in relation to our oversight. And if we approach that dominated in our minds by party political attitudes and standpoints, we will pollute this session, I mean our session, and we'll reduce them into also some boxing grounds, and we are not going to be in a position that temptation. In most cases, people who are punching, they're living in the glass houses, and when one punch back, when I, if one look at me and tackle issues in relation to the party that I represent, and I would have to be punching back, and my punching back might be more because I'm also having a position of chairperson that I don't want to use. If I'm punching back, you might be falling down because we are not in the same situation. Now, I want to appeal to members of parliament, especially this portfolio committee, to respect this portfolio committee as more of a team that is responsible to do oversight, not to provoke each other, because provoking each other will lead to something else, and it will divert us from our strategic responsibility, which is oversight. With those words, I've asked, I've instructed the secretary to close that chatting period, because Honorable Kashalia, obviously, he knows the fact that what he was doing was out of order, and he continuing doing it, and it led to a lot of disturbance in relation to what we are doing. With those words, please, honorable members, behave as adults and people who have a responsibility to build the nation. Thank you very much. The meeting is closed.
Half taken.
Siyamfuna uKhatshalia, Chair.
See, you are out of order, you. You are out of order, seriously.
Recording stopped.